Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to Saffron Spice with Isha and Shivani. I'm Isha and we're back with yet another episode. Hi Shivani, what are we talking about today?
Isha, whatever sociology books say, in reality there's only two main religions that every Indian follows: cricket and Bollywood. While we're all living our cricket dream with the World Cup going on right now, Bollywood too is at a really interesting place in India right now, and that's what we're discussing on our podcast today. Whether we like it or not, in a way, this multi-billion dollar industry plays a huge role in projecting an image of India at a global level. At the same time, it also plays a crucial role in defining our nation's popular culture. So for our podcast today, Isha, we're talking about some recent Bollywood movies which have been iconic in several ways and have made a strong cultural statement.
Such a wonderful discussion to have, Shivani, and what better topic than Bollywood? I am a huge fan of Bollywood myself, and I have passionately loved and hated some of the recent movies and stories that have come out of Bollywood. When it comes to this industry making a cultural statement, I often wonder if Bollywood's just about escapism and projecting unrealistic, imaginary, over-the-top scenarios, or do we also balance it out by projecting realities of our society? And Shivani, what better way to start this discussion by talking about some of the movies we've watched recently? So tell me, Shivani, which was the last movie that you watched?
The last movie I watched was Kalank, actually. Yes, Kalank. Gee, I've got a lot to say about Kalank. Where do I start? Have you watched it, Isha, by any chance?
No, I got saved from it. I watched the reviews before I watched the movie, so...
Oh, gosh. Yeah, look, such a big budget film with a dream cast, you know, a magnificent canvas. But it was such an epic disappointment. You know, you had Varun and Alia, who really share this chemistry of, you know, what perhaps Shah Rukh Khan and Kajol did. So people, you know, wholeheartedly believed that with these two stars and their crackling chemistry on screen, it would be enough to pull off, you know, any movie, irrespective of the storyline. However, Kalank definitely proved that this is definitely not the case. Utter disappointment. But my, you know, thoughts on Kalank was, I really thought it was plagiarized, to be honest. It just looked fake from the beginning to the end.
Even the trailer, you know, looked like it was a Sanjay Leela Bhansali to me. Like it looked like it was, yes, a Sanjay Leela Bhansali movie. He was trying like too hard to make it look like Padmavat,
being something that they aren't. You know, I understand that, you know, that you follow a certain sort of formula or template, and in a lot of things, and, you know, for example, like creating a line of jeans, you know, this works. You follow a template. But like them or not, you know, creative folks like, I guess, Sabyasachi, Rohit Shetty and Sanjay Leela Bhansali have strategically built their trademark ways of working, right? So they operate in a grand, you know, larger than life scenario. They notch up the drama, controlled yet effortless production value. But their work really has a secret element to that seemingly sort of simple formula. And that unique secret element is what makes them so good, if anything, great. So whether you like it or not, or subscribe to their vision or not, you immediately get when I say, or when anyone says, you know, that's so Sabya, or that's so Sanjay Leela Bhansali, right? So really, I feel like Kalank is really a great sort of case study of this seemingly, you know, the dream team incorrectly following this template and really falling prey and being called out as a bad, in fact, horrid, cut, copy, paste, kitschity of Bhansali and Shetty. I mean, they had everything. They had, you know, a star cast, budget, music, costume, production. For God's sakes, they had Madhuri Dixit. Yet what was, you know, a disappointing flop, they forgot the viewer. I think they forgot that, you know, it was just so disappointing. But the silver lining is there is no set template. Signature styles work for those who built the signature style, right? So those following a template to success still need to sort of add their creative genius. So I really feel, you know, they almost treated the audience as if we were Buddhu. Honestly, like it just did not come across as authentic at all.
You're so angry after watching that movie, but I completely get that, Shivani. I mean, with a movie like Kalank, I think the thing that he probably was missing this time was a strong storyline. And I think no matter how many aesthetics you put in, or even if you get Madhuri Dixit to do a Kathak number for you, or you get some of the best costumes and you put together a Sanjay Leela Bhansali type of a grand set and, you know, shoot those kind of songs and everything, if you don't have an honest storyline to it, and if you don't sort of convey the story in a certain way, then the audience is not gonna stay. It's really about the narrative. And I think there is, of course, there is a signature style that every filmmaker has in Bollywood, but at the end of the day, these big budget commercial cinema, as we call it, is about following the standard formula. You know, there has to be a love story, there's some sort of a struggle going on, and then there's gonna be some bad guys, there's gonna be some good guys, there's going to be lots of romance, there's going to be some amazing music, some amazing dances. You make it look great, you make it feel good, and that's sort of your successful package of a movie. You know, so this is where most of the commercial cinema, the successful movies, the formula movies have come from. And these are the movies which sort of set up the culture of our industry in a way. Do you agree with that, Shivani?
Yeah, I do, except, you know, my take on Karan Johar, his movies seem to be only about rich and frivolous things that don't even matter, right? Do they really have storylines? Struggles of rich people.
Yeah, that's what he's blamed for. But that's why I feel like, you know, these big budget movies are about escapism. I think this formula was established by Yash Raj, who Karan Johar obviously religiously follows and tries to recreate. Yeah. And even again, you know, Suraj Barjatya movies for that matter. Just presenting like this really happy, wholesome, complete picture. You always have your song sequences that are done in Europe. Your actors are wearing some of the best clothes. They're living in some of the most amazing houses. And, you know, their struggles are very like romance-related struggles. There's no like real human struggle that was ever depicted in these movies. And still these movies did well because, again, it was escapism, right? It was people were going to the movies to get away from their realities and sort of look at beautiful people, look at just things that you don't have in real day life. You're going there for entertainment. You're going there to forget your reality.
Yeah, and I think Yash Raj, being the king of romance, really sort of was a pioneer in more ways than one. You know, he really set the scene for, songs really are the primary selling pitch, right, for films. I mean, prior to release, you have, all the songs sort of coming out that create, you know, the effect and the instant impact. And I think Yash Raj really set the scene in terms of, you know, Bollywood's longstanding love affair with Switzerland. Indian filmmakers tend to have this passion for Switzerland, and it's really helped make it one of the most popular destinations for Indian tourists seeking locations of some of their favorite film songs, right?
It's true. They actually have a Yash Chopra statue in one of the cities in Switzerland, Shivani, because he really has, it's true, he really has turned the Switzerland tourism scene around.
Yep, dancing in the snow, wearing a sari against a backdrop of a breathtaking mountaintops is definitely something of a Bollywood cliche, right? Right, yeah. Straight out of Switzerland.
Yeah, and no matter how much of an intellectual I might claim to be myself, I mean, that's one of the things on my bucket list. I want to wear a chiffon sari and, you know, dance in the backdrop of a mountain, play
this
some music.
This is a disclaimer. Kids, do not do this. Do not do this.
I'm going to do it. I have to do it before I die. Otherwise, this life is not going to be complete without that.
Yeah. Look, I think Bollywood has definitely sort of boosted the country's popularity amongst Indian tourists. I mean, for them, Switzerland is associated with tranquility and romantic landscapes. And I must admit, Isha, Switzerland is definitely on the bucket list for me as well. So,
right?
Yeah.
And he's given us some things that we never knew. He gave us Switzerland. I don't think Indians have heard of cognac other than in Yash Chopra movies either. You know, cognac, sharab nahi hoti. He has these, you know, standard things that are in all the movies that have set up the romance culture, like chiffon. He introduced chiffon to the Indian fabric system, and I relate chiffon to romance.
And if you actually sort of think back to all the Barish sort of songs with rain, they're always wearing chiffon saris, right?
Actresses are always wearing chiffon.
I think, who was in Dip Dip Barsa Pani? That was Ravina and Akshay, right?
But was that Yash Chopra?
It wasn't a Yash Chopra, but that was, I think that was an exotic location and definitely a chiffon sari. So
yeah, he brought chiffon to Bollywood. But again, like going back to our conversation, it is always, you know, it is always sort of this really hardcore romance, great songs, some amazing sets, some larger-than-life characters and situations. And people love this. And somehow I think these big filmmakers have not been comfortable in projecting the stories of the real people or in projecting the stories of the people who are going to watch the movies.
Yeah, I think it's very sort of aspirational, right?
Mm-hmm.
Extremely aspirational, but from what I remember it, Hindi movies to be, I mean, growing up in the 90s, like Kahani Kuch Bhi Nahi, but exotic location mein gana shoot karna to banta hai, right? So like,
absolutely.
I remember growing up and just all these movies, mountaintops, Switzerland, I think, and Yash Raj, you know, he's considered it remarkable. I mean, his movies have had, you know, massive commercial successes. You know, Dil To Pagal Hai, naming just one of them. There's a number of them, right? There's Kabhi Kabhi that goes back to the 1970s,
my favorite.
I mean, they're all centered around love, right? All these love films, Diwar, Kabhi Kabhi, Lamhe, Trishul, they're just all hits, and all centered around love, so.
But Shivani, you know, back in the day, there used to be two separate categories. There was the commercial cinema, and then there was the realistic sort of cinema. And it was two completely different types of movies, completely different treatments. The budgets used to be like opposites for these movies. And even the audiences were very, very different for this sort of these two categories. But Shivani, I think now that's changing. I think now we're looking at every movie. We're starting to look at movies, you know, just as storytelling. We're starting to treat realistic stories too in a beautiful manner and coming up with great cinema. Shivani, what's your take on this? Have you watched any recent movie which has stood out for you?
A recent movie that's really sort of stood out would have to be Zoya Akhtar's Gully Boy. Have you watched that?
Oh my god, it was amazing.
It was just sensational. I actually think, I know she's been sort of categorized and has a reputation of creating all these elite class filmmaker, but I really think, I mean, Gully Boy was so well depicted in terms of the characters. It was, yeah, I would have to rate that as one of my favorite movies in recent times.
No, I completely agree with that, Shivani, because, you know, even Gully Boy was sort of a groundbreaking movie, you know, to break the loop of, you know, just sort of have to have a rich people escapist type of cinema to be able to tell a good entertaining story. That wasn't the case with Gully Boy. Being from Mumbai, I know that Mumbai. I have seen, you know, those neighborhoods. I have seen those people. I've been those people, you know. I've been that guy. I've been the friends. I've been all those people. I've lived those things. And I know that she did such a good job of depicting a real side of Mumbai or a real story of what
it was shot
a person
in
goes through.
The Ravi, right? Which is like the largest slum.
It was shot partly in Dharavi, but there were also like some things that were shot in. It's basically Dharavi and the neighborhoods. So she did such a good job, and at the end of the day, you still had, you know, even though the person wasn't rich or the person wasn't looking like a Bollywood actor or he wasn't dressed like a Bollywood actor. There still were amazing songs. There still were, you know, there still wasn't. Was a beautiful romance, beautiful performances, and you still saw a story that you could watch over and over again. And that was the magical part, right?
Yeah, and I think what was really commendable for, in my opinion, and it really left me, like I left the movie theater, you know, really kind of contemplating. It was just so thought-provoking, was her depiction. It was just a breath of fresh air. The portrayal of Safina, which is Alia Bhatt's character, so a portrayal of a Muslim woman. It was, you know, with Bollywood, it's really a hit or miss approach in terms of representing Muslims and Muslim women. But I was just so content and so excited to see a strong, bald, multi-dimensional character with a Muslim identity. It's such a rare instance. And it, you know, it's used to somewhat evoke emotions, prod the storyline, you know, it adds a cultural element to the story. Neither is exaggerated. Safina's portrayal really departs from the one-dimensional, often negative stereotype of Muslim women that Bollywood cannot seem to sort of shake off. So I really thought, yeah, it was really well done. It was nice that her, you know, she, Alia Bhatt, for those that have not seen the movie, actually wears a hijab. So her character Safina wears a hijab, and it was, you know, it wasn't used as a simple symbol of oppression or as a prop for the story. It was like, yeah, she was just a superstar. I mean, it was amazing.
She was so good. And Shivani, as you rightly pointed out, it's just the way the character is built. You know, I don't think in the whole movie ever they have mentioned sort of the word Muslim, or they've said ke, you're from like a Muslim family, look at what you're doing. There was none of that. They weaved that so beautifully into the story. And still, yes, now if we sort of close our eyes and think about Safina, we think about Safina with the scarf on her head, but it's not sort of the only thing that Safina left us with. You know, for me, if I think of Safina, I really imagine Safina as the person who I was. I used to talk exactly like that when I was in India. I had that lingo, and that's how I used to talk to my friends. And that's how, you know, we used to talk on our daily conversations on the phone, and chal lete isko, isko taj dikhate hum log kaun hai, you know, and that whole lingo was so such a deep part. And I was literally, at some point, I was jumping on my seat because I was like, oh my god, that was so me. And that's, I think, what some of these filmmakers are doing. The idea is that, you know, you're appealing to the audience that's sitting on the seat. It's completely contradictory to what Karan Johar does, as you mentioned in the beginning. He doesn't think about the audience at all. Whereas with these movies, we sit in the audience and we're like, we have so many moments where we relate to what's going on screen. They're always sort of putting out some bit of the story which makes it relatable to the audience, right?
I think it was because the characters were just so raw, vulnerable, and just so real. Like, it just made you feel like you could just relate to them. There were so many layers to those characters. Ranveer, he did such a good job of... I don't think anyone else could have played Murad better than what he did. He really immersed himself into the character. It was just, yeah, not many movies sort of leave me, you know, post-movie, I walk out of the cinema. Yeah, I was really in a daze. Like, I was... I was really in a daze, and in fact, 4 days... I was sort of really trapped in this, you know. I couldn't shake myself out. I was constantly thinking about the movie, and just, yeah, it left you with a lot. So well done to Zoya.
Certainly,
yeah.
Certainly, Shivani. And, you know, this sort of is kind of realistic cinema, but not the type of realistic cinema as we used to see back in the day. This is like a perfect, this is like a beautiful in-between, you know. It's a fresh breath of air from the over-the-top, like, grand, you know, unnecessary sometimes, larger-than-life kind of imagery. This is like a beautiful story told in a great way. And then there's, of course, we have the realistic type of cinemas. We have the Anurag Kashyap movies. We have our Black Fridays, and we have our Gangs of Wasseypur. And in fact, this last weekend, I watched the movie Article 15. Oh my God. It is hardcore realistic cinema, but it is done so well. So we do have these, you know, really hard-hitting, tough stories that are told in a tough manner. You come out of the movie upset. They're thought provoking. They, you know, they sort of wake you up from your Yash Chopra dreams of, you know, love is the only thing that matters. And when you watch these movies, you do get like a picture of realities which do exist in our country, or realities which do exist in our society. So I think these movies are extremely important too, and they need to be told well, and we kind of need to keep on watching these movies to make sure these movies keep getting made, because they're equally as important. But Shivani, what's your take? Do you enjoy these sort of hard-hitting, thought-provoking type of movies as well?
You know, I like a good balance, Isha. I probably don't get to watch too many movies. So from time to time, you know, I probably do enjoy your Karan Johar, you know, bubblegum type movies that us NRIs can relate to. But at the same time, you know, I love movies like Lagan and that really have substance to them. Because I think movies really, they really are a platform, you know, it's a reflection of our society, right? They really mirror the problems, issues, thinking and sort of perception of contemporary society. So, you know, we really need to believe that movies could act as this proxy to perhaps understand how prevalent some of these stereotypes in our society. So... yeah, I mean, I like to strike a good balance.
That's great, Shivani. And I guess at the end of it, Shivani, any story told well will find an audience. I mean, you don't need a larger-than-life sort of treatment for a story like Gully Boy. Or you don't need a larger-than-life sort of fake portrayal for, you know, a story like Neel Bhatte Sannata. These were like excellent stories told in a very simple manner, yet they touched the heart, you know. So I think whether it's told like a fairy tale sort of romance, or whether it's for a slum boy, if treated with honesty and if treated in a relatable manner, I think they'll do the work. Which is your favorite movie, Shivani, of all times?
My favorite movie of all times would have to be... it would have to be DDLJ, Dilwale Dulhania Le Jayenge. I think classic. That just... Yeah, it's a classic. I mean... Oh gosh, I could say so much about DDLJ. It is an all-time favorite for sure. Is it not yours?
It is my all-time. It's my PMS movie, Shivani. I watch.
Yep.
I watch the movie every month. It's my
What more do you need, right? It's full of Bollywood cliche to the rule book, in fact. But
and we love it.
And we love it. And we love it. I mean, Raj falls in love with a young woman named Simran. Wow. What's your favorite scene?
Oh my god, I have so many favorite scenes. But when she wakes up to the mandolin and he's there in the sarso ke khet for her, and it's like, yeah. Oh my god, he's here. Or even the beginning scene where it's raining and he like opens his arms and falls down on the green grass while playing
footy. He's playing football.
He's playing football. Oh man,
this is in England, right? Yeah, and right. It's raining, of course. It's raining,
and then he like shakes his head, and like the water sort of is like all around. And Sharuk.
And just for our listeners, Dilwale Dulhania Le Jayenge is your quintessential, you know, boy meets girl. Has a disapproving father, tries to marry her off to someone else, and this idea of love marriage was probably still very much rebellious in the 90s in India, right, Isha?
I mean, it's always been that way. And of course, Shivani, DDLJ played with a lot of sort of cliches, and they had like NRI cliches, and they had Indian father cliches, and they had like, you know, the girl has to be sanskari and the girl has to be straightforward and the guy can be as disgusting and cheap as he wants to. They had all these cliches in them, but it's a cult movie. It worked for DDLJ. I don't know if you and I would talk to a guy who comes and does dirty talk with us on the train. That would not be a...
I'd be like, the train, speaking of train, Eurostar, that, hello, you're famous. That is that Raj and Simran train moment is like my favorite scene. Well, that's probably my favorite
scene. That's your favorite scene?
Yeah, when I mean, and I think he did a spoof of it in Chennai Express, right, Shah Rukh Khan?
He did
sequence. But I mean, that's everyone's most desired way of meeting their true love, is it not?
I mean, it's also a cliche, right? Like, I mean, imagine, Shivani, if you're on a train, you're all by yourself, you're stranded, and you're kind of stuck, okay? And a guy comes and starts talking to you, and a bra, mm-hmm. I think, falls out of his bag or your bag, and that's a conversation. You're gonna run. You're gonna be like, it's gonna be a 911 moment. Like, I can imagine... White Kajol was scared for her life.
Yeah, for her life. And my second favorite would have to probably be the most, that bullet scene. Oh my god. Man. I think I've actually applied this to my life. So it's basically for our listeners, it's when there's this scene, Raj being Shah Rukh Khan, he's I think Simran is walking off, ready to sort of hop onto a train. And Raj is sort of, Shah Rukh Khan is like waiting from afar, looking at her from a distance and saying, you know, agar wo tujhse pyar karti hai, to wo dekhegi. And then he's like, palat, palat, palat. And then she turns around. She palats. Oh my God. I have so applied this in real life. True story.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then she turns around. She smiles. And then, yeah, wow. The palat test. Time and again, lovers have sworn.
See, Shivani, this is what I'm talking about, you know, sort of a good movie or something that stays with you, right? We remember the dialogues, we remember the moments, we remember, we sort of use the dialogues in real life movie. Like, it sort of becomes a part of popular culture. If you're in a situation and you'd be like, Ja Simran Ja, Jee Le Apni Zindagi.
Oh my gosh, promise I was going to say that was going to be my last dialogue. And that, for our listeners, this is, again, so the movie actually ends with the same sort of train scene. So where Simran's dad, right, he allows her to join sort of Raj, and he's like, yeah, Ja Simran Ja, Jee Le Apni Zindagi. Oh, that was so classic. Couldn't have been a happier ending.
And yes, exactly, Shivani. So, you know, you have these dialogues, right? You have these iconic dialogues, the Jee Le Apni Zindagi, or Bade Bade Desho Mein Choti Choti Baatein Hoti Rehti Hai. These dialogues become a part of popular culture. You sort of bring them out in your daily conversations. If I have had so many situations where, you know, we've sort of said these dialogues to our friends or... This is when a movie becomes popular culture. And now movies like, you know, Gangs of Vasaipur or Gully Boy are getting that sort of a status. You know, the iconic dialogue of Alia Bhatt, Mere boyfriend se gulu gulu karegi toh main usko dhoptungi na. This dialogue is, again, iconic. People say that in popular culture. You know, it's sort of becoming a conversation. Or even some dialogues from Vasaipur, some dialogues from... a Nawazuddin Siddiqui movie or an Irfan Khan movie. So I guess when a movie achieves that, when it makes an impression on the audience which lasts longer than, you know, their time in the theatre, that's when I think a story has made an impact. Do you agree, Shivani?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, for sure. I think I mean, the amount of times, and as well as I think Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gum, that was also a movie that sort of captivated the hearts of many. But in terms of dialogue, lots of these Bollywood dialogues have definitely sort of resonated. Actually Rahul Naam to Suna Hoga, right? That's from which movie? Dil to Pagal Hai. Yeah.
Exactly, Shivani. So I think sort of to round today's conversation up, I would say that yes, there's a very clear sort of distinction in the types of movies there are in India and the types of movies that are enjoyed by an audience. I mean, I went to watch Article 15 this past weekend, and the movie had just released, and the entire theatre, like more than half of the theatre had seats available, whereas Kabir Singh was still going houseful. Now, I have a lot to say about Kabir Singh, but we'll hold that for another episode. But, you know, it's still going to be romance and, you know, songs and all that is still going to sell. The thought-provoking cinema is not going to get as much as of an audience. But I think there's always going to be room for both, for all the different types of stories that are being told. And if told well, then even if it's you know, those 3 hours of entertainment that someone goes to the theater for, it will be embraced and it will be accepted. What's your end note, Shivani?
Well, you know, I belong to a generation that grew up watching, you know, your Suraj Pajratia movies. There was Maine Pyar Kiya, which I was very, very young, which I ended up probably watching late in the later years and having a better understanding of. But you know, as they say, and many people do say, Bollywood movies have definitely given me, and I know many others, very high expectations of men who are named Rahul. And yeah, if he is a Rahul, then he has to be smart, handsome, charming, funny, and of course, someone that will sort of love you unconditionally. But besides, you know, train stations and airports being exploited frequently as as meeting spots for two lovers. You know, Bollywood definitely, as Isha and I were just talking about in Dil Wale Dulhaniya Le Jayenge, definitely makes you believe that nearly missing your train is always a good thing, because there's always someone to pull you on board, and this person you might end up falling in love with. So yeah, I'm definitely very idealistic, and look, I definitely enjoy a good sort of Bollywood rom-com. But having said that, Isha, you know, Bollywood really has come a long way, especially in this last century. You know, 3 hours of action-packed drama, dialogues, tears, songs, dances. You know, movies really are a source of entertainment. We go and see them for 2 or 3 hours of fun, relaxation, even enjoyment. But, you know, some of these movies actually do more than that. They tend to leave a lasting impression on us. Films like Gully Boy, for instance. So what that really tells us is there is no fixed formula to entertainment.
You couldn't have said that better, Shivani. I completely agree with that. At the end of it, it's all about the way a story is told, and a well-told story will find a place in people's hearts, Shivani. So I guess that's it for our episode today. Hope you enjoyed listening to our today's episode, everyone. Thank you for joining us in our conversation, and we hope to have you again next week for yet another discussion on our podcast, Saffron Spice with Isha and Shivani.
Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcasting app. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or review us on iTunes. Stay tuned for our new episode next week. Till then, goodbye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.